BBC. A full moon hangs in a deep blue night sky, its reflection shimmering on the rippling water below. With the word arena in pink neon script glowing from within, a floating bottle drifts through mist. From time to time, four old friends, all extraordinary actresses, meet up in the Sussex countryside to put the world to rights. This time, they let the cameras in.
Peter Pepper picked a peck of pickled pepper.
Hello, Joan.
Hello, darling.
Do you want me to sit here?
No, don't sit. Just stand on this side.
Oh, this side.
God
almighty,
leave me alone.
Would you mind taking a little step to your left?
Do
you mind
left?
To your left.
Yeah, I'm off.
Hello.
Okay.
Field Day Productions and BBC Arena present Dame Maggie Smith.
What do you mean? Oh, that's an awful angle, Mark. All right. It's not fair to old ladies.
Dame Eileen Atkins.
How are you doing that?
You've got to start somewhere. Is it your first day?
You've never done it before.
I don't think so, so give him a break.
What?
Look, she had you.
Dame Judi Dench.
I'm never going to speak to you again. You're not my friend, Mark. I'm never going to speak to you again. I never want to see you again.
Oh, no, don't be grumpy.
Dame Joan Plowright.
Are we ready to go?
I think we've been.
We've been.
Nothing like a dame.
See, Mark?
Now, if anybody wants to lie down, ladies.
I'm here, darling.
How far away?
Not far away.
You're round the corner?
Just round the corner.
All right.
So I want to start with when you first set eyes upon each other. Judy, can we start with you?
Oh, God. Yes, but... Have I said, well, I've got a memory, let alone... Oh, God. Well, I think I met you, Mags, in about 1958.
I think so.
And we did the Double Dealer, and we went to Edinburgh to the festival. We got pursued by Miles Mallison.
Did we do that in Edinburgh?
Yeah, we did it at the festival, don't you remember?
No.
Yes, you and I had to hide.
It's gone, it's gone.
We had to hide between the two shows because of Miles Mallison.
I didn't know we were in Edinburgh. Were we good?
No, I didn't know we were.
Too long ago.
I remember you saying, Mags, that you'd been discovered and rediscovered.
Yeah, I'm still hanging in for that.
Who saw Share My Lettuce? Jo, did you see Share My Lettuce?
What on earth? You weren't listening. I'm just told.
<She's>...
I was feeling depressed at the time, and a friend said, oh, we'll take you out to somewhere that'll cheer you up madly. It's Kenneth Williams. He's very funny, as you know. And there's this new girl.
You don't.
And that was the new girl.
Would you say Kenneth had been quite a big influence on you?
An enormous influence. I mean, I pinch from him all the time.
Can you give us some examples?
Well, in black comedy, I'm doing a complete Kenneth. I mean, it's outrageous. If you haven't seen it, he'd be livid. You know, that awful Mrs. Panic do keep swizzling like that. You know, it's pure Ken.
Eileen, tell us a bit about Baby Eileen.
A gypsy told my mother I was going to be a dancer, and she kept sending me to dancing lessons. And I kept screaming and wanting to come home again from the age of three. And finally, at five, I seemed stuck there. And that particular dancing school was called the KY School. And we had it on all our clothes, KY. My brother played the drums there, and his drums had KY on it. We never knew why people laughed slightly or looked
That's
the other way.
Sad.
And I danced in working men's clubs two or three times a week until my grammar school said she falls asleep in school.
Because you were up all night doing
yes,
these things?
Yeah. Well, it was paedophilia land, really, with little girls up there.
And what, did you decide just that you didn't want to do it anymore?
I did my first play when I was 10. And kept telling my mum from then on that I didn't want to dance. I was going to do this other thing. We all just thought we were going to be stage actresses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you start off with Leichner makeup?
Five and nine.
It's the men's makeup.
No, I wore dark Egyptian in one thing. Peter Pan.
Five and nine was really the men's makeup, wasn't it? But you added a bit of three or two and a half to it if you're a girl.
And a big red spot in the corner of your eyes.
Absolutely.
Red spots.
Big red spot.
Crimson Lake, if you were being aged.
Yes, lines of Crimson Lake.
People coming out of drama schools years ago wanted to go to Bristol Old Vic or Oxford or somewhere there's a really good rep.
There was a thing, wasn't there, when you went to reps and you stayed in digs and things, that if the landlady wasn't very nice or didn't do something, you used to nail a kipper under the table before you left.
Yes.
That's true. Tim West went home one night to a darkened house, letting himself in the back into the kitchen. And the landlady was having sex with a man on the table. And she would write out lines, and as he opened the door, she saw it, and she said, "Oh, Mr. West, you must think I'm such a flirt."
On the table?
On the table.
Unaware there was a kipper attached to it.
The kipper.
How ghastly.
I went straight from the Vic to do the Cherry Orchard, which was Michel Saint-Denis and Peggy and Sir John.
Yeah. Who was
Michel Saint-Denis? Mm-hmm.
And he was really, really, really unkind. He used to come to the end of Act One and then he'd give notes, and he'd give a note here and he'd give a note there and he'd give a note there, and he'd get to me and go,
"Oh, horrible."
And Peggy, I remember, said to me, "Do you think I nearly married that man?" She said. And then she said, "Never, ever let him see you cry. Never let him see you cry." And then one day we got to the end of Act One, and he used to give the notes then. And Sir John said, "Well, if you've been doing that for me, I'd be delighted," he said. And it changed absolutely everything for me. It just entirely changed my life, really, as far as, you know, a fear of directors, because the more you get frightened, you know, and somebody goes like that, the less you can do. You can't mend it.
Good night, Uncle.
God bless you, little Anya.
I was at the Old Vic Theatre School, run by Judy's friend, Michel Saint-Denis, and George Dween, and it was George who asked me to join the company for... well, what was called the English Stage Company, but it just became known as the Royal Court. Michel Saint-Denis had been told that they were asking me to join the company. And Michel had said, "She can't play queens, you know." And George had said, "I should think the last thing we want in a theatre for contemporary writers is girls born to play queens."
A garden sundial.
I thought we were going to sing.
It's very wet.
As the skies darken, the actors and film crew leave the garden and head into a cottage. Later, snapshots of the dame sitting around a dining table, smiling and chatting.
Should we sit under the table?
Timothy's under the table.
Bob, be careful what you say. Timothy's under the table. So look the other way. You can tickle and squeeze as much as you please, but don't you go too far, because Timothy's under the table and he's bound to tell his ma. Why do I remember that?
What is that?
It's the musical we win. Hark, hark, the fart.
Listen to the Wind. It's called Listen to the Wind.
Yes.
It's a terrible, terrible
It is a terrible, terrible
That's what Ronnie called it. It's Hark, Hark, the Fart.
Timothy's under the table, so look the other way. You can tickle and squeeze as much you please, but don't you go too far. For
Why did we start on that?
He's bound to tell his ma.
Cleopatra. Maggie, talk us a bit about...
I'm not going to talk about Cleopatra.
Right.
Did you start?
You.
Uh-oh.
Why?
Nobody... Ha-ha!
I'm in the clear with this one. You bang on.
What do you mean you're in the clear? Well, I've turned it down 4 times because I thought I wasn't good-looking enough. That's the end of my story of Cleopatra.
And what are we meant to say about that?
What
are we meant to say to that?
You're meant to say...
Oh, Eileen, how
what
stupid.
A fool you're... No, I not good-looking, that's a silly word. I don't know. No, I didn't have the courage. There you are. I didn't have the courage.
No, neither did I. That's why I did it in Canada.
Yes, you did it, though.
But you did it.
Yes, I didn't have the courage. Oh. I was asked by Jonathan Miller to do it. I just said I couldn't possibly do it at the National because in my own mind, I wouldn't be first choice. Half of them will say, oh, my God, you know, she shouldn't be playing Cleopatra. Cleopatra's supposed to be a great beauty. So that's the first stumbling block, isn't it? But you said a marvellous thing, Judy, when you were asked to do Cleopatra. Do you really want... Now, you go on with it.
What?
She's forgotten.
I can't remember what I just remember people laughing openly, apropos of what you said. When I said I was going to play and it was announced, people laughed openly at me.
But you said to Peter Hall, was it, in charge? Do you really want... Do you want me to say it?
A dwarf. Yes, I do. What, a menopausal dwarf.
That's
yes.
It.
What? It's very funny.
Are you sure you want a menopausal dwarf to play this part?
Exactly.
Absolutely true.
That's what she was.
That's what she was, quite. It's the way I played it.
It's true.
Where is the fellow?
Half afeard to come.
Go to. Come hither, sir.
Good Majesty, Heron of Jewry dare not look upon you but when you are well pleased.
That Herod's head I'll have. But how when Antony is gone, through whom I might command it? There's gold for thee.
They assume, well, I'm talking about critics, that we all think we're the king's knees, the bee's knees, and we'll take on these parts. They don't realise that we're shaking inside, right?
That's absolutely true, because that's two of us didn't have any courage at all and not doing it. There's Maggie nervously doing it in another country, and Judy shakingly did it.
Tony Hopkins, on the top of the monument, he used to say, I'm going now for a nice lie down while you do Act 5. That is what it's...
But there's a lot of rest before Act 5. Mm.
There's a bit of rest, isn't there? With Pompey and all
it's
that.
Long enough to lose the thread.
We used to be up in that monument when you were up there for a long time. And Miranda Foster and Helen Fitzgerald used to say to me, what would you really like to eat now? And I'd say, what I'd like now is a glass of champagne and a lobster salad. And on the last, very last night, we were in the monument, and they said, what would you like to... I said, lobster salad and... And they went, ting, with a light. And there it was. And we had it.
I found it very difficult to say to the monument, because it's like a tube station, isn't it? I wasn't good at that.
It was like...
To the monument, I thought, no, I'm sorry. I'd rather not say that. But wasn't it Mags, darling Mags Tysak, said she couldn't get her head round having to say, I am for Argos. What was she doing?
She was doing that.
Come on, can you? It's ridiculous.
I've never not known an Antony complain. Because I think they find out that really it's Cleopatra's evening rather more than Antony's. I think Cleopatra is a better part than Antony. And I think the men never know until they're in the middle of doing it.
Oh, I see.
I know Alan Bates told me that. He said, halfway through, I realised.
That's because you wanted to play Cleopatra.
There's something of that in it, absolutely.
You can't win.
Can you talk a bit about naturalism? When you started out, were people much bigger in that performance?
Well, I thought I'd done a very naturalistic performance in The Duchess of Malfi on television. And then a couple of years ago, I was at the Globe and they were doing The Duchess of Malfi in one of the other theatres. And one of the cast came up to me and said, yes, we've watched your old television of Malfi. Well, of course, that was all right in your day, but we're going to do it naturally.
Why should only I, of all the other princes in the world, be cased up like a holy relic? I have youth and a little beauty.
So you have some virgins that are witches.
It's a different form of naturalism each time, isn't it? I mean, each generation thinks they found the natural way to do something.
No, be assured, you shall not find me daughter after the slander of most stepmothers, evil-eyed unto you. You're my prisoner, but your... Ah, yes. You're my prisoner, but your jailer shall deliver you the keys that lock up your restraint.
Oh, you've done it. You've done it. That was perfect. That was absolutely perfect.
That will never happen again.
No, it will not. It will. It will. It will.
It's always very difficult for me to hear Shakespeare being done in a natural, natural way, with pauses anywhere they like, and because they think it gives the impression that they're thinking of it absolutely at the moment. But I mean, you know, Shakespeare is poetry. And it does have a rhythm, and it does...
And there is a way of being, of using the poetry and being naturalistic.
Yes.
And that seems to me, if it's done and things are changed and it's broken up, and it seems to me to be losing entirely out on the other side of it.
Yes, exactly.
The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. It is mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throned monarch better than his crown.
It's like you bring it down to you and your size instead of reaching up to something that's a bit...
Well, I think it would look pretty rum if we all did it as they did it way back.
I think pre-Lawrence, I can talk about.
I mean, it looked a bit quaint, wouldn't it? You have to move with the times.
That would seem to us like hollow booming.
Well, I think it does frequently sound like that now.
But there's a middle ground.
There is a middle ground.
Ill met by moonlight, proud Titania.
What? Jealous Oberon? Fairy, skip hence. I have forsworn his bed and company.
Tarry, rash wanton. Am not I thy lord?
Then I must be thy lady. Why art thou here? Come from the farthest steep of India, but that forsooth a bouncing Amazon, your buskined mistress and your warrior love, to Theseus must be wedded, and you come to give their bed joy and prosperity.
Director Peter Hall's A Midsummer Night's Dream from 1968.
It had been announced that Larry was to be director of the National Theatre that had been approved.
I can remember, I had the feeling of going almost every week. So it's very exciting for other actors in the profession as well as those of you in the company.
Yes, and Maggie, you moved in there despite your nervousness about critics.
Yes, I did. Well, I think I was more nervous of Lawrence than the critics.
What?
I was more nervous of your husband than the critics. I must admit.
Well, I don't think...
As indeed everybody was,
Jane. I don't think he ever showed it.
No, everybody was. We were terrified.
Your name, my girl.
Wilful, Jack Wilful, at your service.
The Kentish Wilfuls or those of Staffordshire?
Both, sir, both. I'm related to all the Wilfuls in Europe, and I'm head of the family at present.
Do you live in this country, sir?
I live where I stand. I have no house, home, nor habitation beyond this spot of grass.
What are you, sir?
A rake.
In the army, I presume?
No, but I intend to list immediately.
No, he didn't scare me all the time.
No, you scared him.
I think I scared the wits out of him from time to time. A merry war, let us say.
A merry war, because I know I remember you telling me that he'd come in and said you were too slow and then you bored him off the stage.
Ah, no money and no luggage either.
Not a thing in the world. What is more, I don't care. I'm here and I don't care.
I like you for that.
Only for that?
No. Not only for that.
You went on the next night and you went so fast that he was befuddled.
I went so fast he didn't know it was Wednesday or Christmas. He could have gone into Richard III without any trouble. I got him really, really rattled.
Shakespeare's Othello.
Didn't he tell you that your vows were right?
Yes, he did, but I'm...
And what did you say to him when he was...
What did you say?
I used to put his eyelashes on. No, he did tell me my vows, which they're still dodgy.
"'Twill away again. Let me but bind it hard. Within an hour it will be well."
So I went in to help him with the eyelashes and he was sitting there in all that gunge. And I said, "How now, brown cow?" And all he said was, "It was better, that's better," he said. Anyway, he got very cross with me because I wouldn't do Skin of Our Teeth.
Yes. Yes.
"Out, devil," he says. But he did knock me out.
Well, not quite.
He did.
"Mad? Why, sweet of the girl?"
Get it off! He hit me. "Out, devil." And I was left with some black marks on my face. Oh, dear. But I did say it was the only time I saw stars at the National Theatre. Those were the days, eh?
They also had the lights put up a bit when he came on.
When he came on, yes. But you could do that if you went like that. You got into it. But you had to... had to make sure you could get your head in. Darling Frank Finlay.
Yeah.
He came off one night and he flew to the prompt corner and he started tearing at his eyes. And I was so alarmed and I thought, what's happened? And he was wearing... He'd never worn them before. You had contact lenses.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, "I have just seen Sir Lawrence and I never want to see him again." he couldn't get them. Can you imagine anything? Because he couldn't see his hand in front of him, could he, Frank? Poor man.
Othello rolls his eyes, then falls to the ground.
Well done. I think we're done. Yeah.
Let him take one A mark on the end.
The tunnel.
Yeah. A woman leads Joan through a covered walkway beside the cottage. In archive footage, Joan ambles through the garden arm in arm with an elderly Laurence Olivier. In the present day, with the aid of a walking stick, she makes her way along a footpath. An old image of the large, detached cottage.
We got the cottage as a halfway house between Brighton and Chichester when Larry was running Chichester Theatre, because getting out of Brighton took such a long time in the summer with all the crowds of visitors. And also we needed some country air and space. When we first came, there was just the central part, little cottage, still with a few Elizabethan stones in the wall. And the cottage was surrounded by nettles, just nettles, all around this and the field. Absolute, some of them shoulder high.
I wish you could have played tonight.
Why tonight?
It's his birthday today.
His birthday?
Yes, today. But I'm not going to tell him till tonight.
Doesn't he know it's his birthday?
He hasn't mentioned it.
Ah, tell me. Are you going to have a party?
A party?
Weren't you going to have one?
No.
Well, of course you must have one. We'll have a party, eh? What do you say?
Oh, yes.
Sure, we'll give him a party. Leave it to me.
Oh, that's wonderful, Mr. Goldberg.
You like the idea?
Oh, I'm so glad you came today.
Well, if we hadn't come today, we'd have come tomorrow.
Still, I'm glad we came today, just in time for his birthday.
I wanted to have a party, but you must have people for a party.
And now you've got McCann and me. McCann's the life and soul of any party.
What? Speed.
The birthday party, 1987. Now looking jaded, Maggie sighs as she sits down on a couch with Judy. Maggie finds a cushion, studies the design on the front, then places it behind her bag.
I like the way you consider what was written on the cushion.
Well, yeah, because you... I'm sure we look natural. Do we?
Oh, dear.
When have we ever sat like this?
When have we ever
sat? When have we ever sat like this?
Not even in a play, have we? No, of course it's
well, it's
not.
A funny
it's fine.
Sort of...
It's
fine.
It is.
It's a prop. I think it was pinched from the Three Sisters. From the Three Sisters, isn't it?
Eat la doobie, eat la doo, eat la doobie. Glad I got the cockles here.
Glad I got the cockles here. Oh, roll the key, roll the key, roll the key.
Roll the key, roll the key, roll the key.
Look at them all looking bored over there.
Our lucky. First day is still scary. First days on a film set, all first days.
All days are scary. No, that's true, I'm
it
not...
It is absolutely...
I don't know why people assume that it is any other way. It's just... It's scary, and it is every day on a film, isn't it?
All right, let's shoot, please. Turn over. Okay. Action, everybody.
It's certainly every day on a film set because you haven't done it before.
I know. Filming is very scary because there are so many people involved. But it's the everybody kind of waiting with bated breath. And if you get it wrong, there's a lot of silent...
Looking
at each other and the eyes roll and there's a bit of...
Heavy breathing.
Are we really going again? I wasn't actually allowed to go to films. They didn't approve.
I used to get claustrophobia.
But that horrible smell and the carpets that sank down. I think I saw Hamlet when I was at school.
Yes. And Henry V.
Yes. Well, we were allowed to do that.
We were made to, weren't we?
That's true.
We were made to, because we all had to fight for our country. Yeah. I had a great aunt Sarah, I think she was called. I only met her once. She lived in Dublin, and she was like a bird, a tiny little bird. And she once said, I'm not going to the films anymore because the seats are too narrow. And she never knew that you actually put the seat down. She just sat on that.
I don't believe you. She sat on that.
It's a fact.
Mind you, we all did as children. Perched. The next door neighbours took me to see, now this is really frightening, the jazz singer.
Al Jolson?
No, it wasn't Al Jolson. Close, but no, it was Larry, not Olivia. Larry Parks. It was so long and so boring, I thought I didn't enjoy it at all, but I got home and my father was very, very, very cross.
Was it not suitable? Well,
no, because it was a Sunday and it was, you know,
oh, yes.
So you weren't allowed yes. to do anything like that. So it kind of put me off a bit. So after that, the first thing I saw was Hamlet. And that was just as scary. Just as scary.
India, and begins to pay for his ineffectual
I've never known my father as cross as he was that day.
Have you remember me?
What did your parents make of you going into this job?
What did they make of me going into this job? Well, I think they were a bit puzzled.
How did you begin in the theatre? Did you act at school?
The very first definite step was when I was still at school. They had a frightful good thing that when you'd finished, you know, general school certificate, you usually had about 2 weeks at the end of term, which was kind of dead time. And I immediately went to the Oxford Playhouse.
In the letter, I think it's the letter, I played a Chinese boy. A Chinese boy in an opium den. Yes, of course I did. And I, right at the beginning of the letter, I was the Malayan woman.
And you were the child.
And a Chinese boy. God, can you imagine my makeup?
Oh. You don't have to make no effort for them, they come easy. Now, we know where the money lies. They say, hell we do, the workers have got it. All right, then, let's give them what they want. If they want words of one syllable, we'll give them that, then. If they want the third-rate plot, we'll give them that, then. Anything's good enough for them, because they don't ask for no more. The whole stinking commercial world insults us, and we don't give a damn. Well, it does serve us right. It is our own fault. We want the third-rate, and we've got it. We've got it. We've got it.
Roots, Beatty Bryant. Such a leading part that hardly exists anywhere. You know, Beatty is the centre of attention, is the centre of the story, instead of being, you know, on the side, the decoration bit, the support. The female is absolutely at the centre of it. And it's that feeling of elation, exhilaration, when you know you're in charge.
Oh, yes.
Anything you thought wrong. No, no, I have too much honour to desire it.
Don't you think we may as well leave honour out of the argument?
Ah.
We are not in the first rank of world beauties. Yes. That's my mother who sent me off to the Old Vic Theatre School and saying, you know, OK, you're on your way out there. You're no oil painting, my girl. But you have the spark. You've lovely expressive eyes. And thank God you've got my legs and not your father's.
Madam, I'll see.
I was very lucky in the way that your mother said that to you. That was the school teacher who was encouraging me to go into the theatre. And he invited an actor to come and see me to ask his opinion. And accidentally, I heard him say, I don't know what to do about her. I think she's probably a very good actress, or could be, but I'm worried about her looks because she's not what you would call pretty. Mm. I was listening to this quite happily, actually, and then he answered happily for me, which has kept me going throughout the whole of my career, no, no, she's not conventionally pretty in any way. But do you know what? She's sexy.
Ah.
A black and white image of a young, slender Eileen in a short and frilly nightdress.
I spent 2 days the other day trying to remember Andre Previn. God, I could not think of his name.
Isn't it so easy? I spent all my time thinking, what did I do last weekend?
Lucy used to borrow from a woman who wore gaiters and galoshes and those plastic Macintoshes and a rather grubby husband that she only wore on Sundays. Why do I remember things?
Where's that from?
One of those Oxford reviews. And a rather pallid husband that she only wore on Sundays when she sat behind the teapot handing fancies to the vicar. I don't know. Where does it all come from? Kind of jam full of rubbish in my head. Very difficult. Has anybody said go?
Yes.
Oh, go?
Yeah.
What's the blame? What's the part?
Can you remember the first time you came to this house?
I was with very small people, small children, and I've got a picture of Joan just vanishing into the room downstairs, and that wonderful lime walk out there was this high, where it's all overgrown now. So it was when Richard was tiny and Chris was tiny. Babies.
Not babies.
A montage of old black and white photos of the actors with their children. Jones jumping over a stream with her child, while Maggie sitting on the arm of a chair beside her young son.
I can tell you a story about Richard when he was a very small person. In the hall there was a dumb waiter, and Richard, as a small person, used to just nonchalantly post any mail that there might be down there. And one Christmas, I remember Larry standing over him because Larry was beseeching this child, because he couldn't find the keys to the bar that was at the end of the... And he saw Richard looking a bit furtive. And he was leaning over him saying, "Where are the keys to Daddy's num-nums?" I always thought it was wonderful that this fantastic actor was reduced
to saying, "Num-num.
Where are the keys to Daddy's num-nums?" I think he posted them down, the wretched thing. Anyway. I suppose that's what it was all about in those days. The children. Very small people running around. Why are you so tanned? Is that all Cornwall?
Cornwall.
Doesn't happen to me.
A youthful Judy Dench with a feather boa draped around her.
Mama thinks I'm living in a convent. A secluded little convent in the southern part of France. Mama doesn't even have an inkling that I'm working in a nightclub in a pair of lacy pants. So, please, sir, if you run into my mama, don't reveal my indiscretion. Give a working girl a chance.
I'm trying to think how old I was in the 60s. 34, 44. So I was 26 at the beginning of the 60s. I think that I thought it was much more to do with being in the theatre and it was fun and things were loose. I don't know.
Perhaps we swung a bit early.
I think we did.
Do you think?
I'm sure you and I did. I'm pretty sure we did.
I think we were swinging. I guess I was swinging at the end of the 50s.
We did it pretty badly, actually, Judy. I don't think you and I needed the 60s.
My courage, try by combat if thou darest, and thou shalt find that I exceed my sex. Resolve on this. Thou shalt be fortunate if thou receive me for thy warlike mate.
A young Eileen stars in the black-and-white film Age of Kings, Henry VI from 1960. She takes the king's hand and kisses it. Now, other clips from films of a bygone era. In black-and-white footage, Judy's character's frantically running along a street when she's collared by two policemen and ends up in a scuffle.
Come on, love. It's me having you.
Stinking copper! Filthy, stinking copper!
She spits at the officer. Now Vanessa Redgrave marching at a Vietnam War protest.
I sat down in Trafalgar Square with Vanessa.
So did I.
And then Vanessa got arrested and remembered she had a matinee.
I sat down, it was probably the same thing. Julian said, I was married to Julian Glover then, and we all sat down. And first of all, John Osborne was taken away, and then Vanessa was taken away, and same you were probably, were you taken away?
Oh, no, I hid.
You hid. Well, Julian went away, and I thought, I've had enough of this. And I got up and went home, and I remember buying some crumpets on the way home. And Julian was furious with me because he spent a night in a cell and came back the next day and said, what happened
Where were you?
To you? And I said, I suddenly thought I wanted to go home.
We weren't allowed sometimes at home to talk about politics or religion.
When you were young?
Yeah.
No, nobody spoke about it in my house
at all. Not much.
No, I don't remember debates at school or anything. You went away to school, did you?
Well, I was at boarding school in York, which is my hometown, but I still had to stay there, you know. The Quakers. I loved it.
A researcher sits down with a laptop and Judy gets out her glasses.
Mm. Oh, good grief. So
this is from York Film Archive, and it's of the Mystery Plays. Mm-hmm. It hasn't got any sound, but we think...
What year?
Or 51 or 52.
Well, if it's 51... Oh, wait a minute.
I thought you... No.
Now, wait a minute. Can I have it very close? Oh. Who is that? Oh, I wish I could see.
I'll try and freeze frame.
Yeah, that would be good.
We were wondering whether that was you there.
That's what I wondered. Can I just look that closely?
Yes, I can't see.
May I ask, did you have tits even then?
Well, that person has.
Because you have very pretty tits,
I don't think I had them like that.
How old were you then?
Tiny, in 52.
And you were 18. 18. Yes, that's true.
Okay, just play it a tiny bit on.
You have an awful wig on.
It's... We all had them. Yes. There's gold wigs. There's everybody going in to see it with their rugs, look.
So this is in 52,
St. Yeah? Mary's Abbey. My father played Annas the High Priest. My ma made the costumes.
Look. And then there's lots of behind-the-scenes shots.
God, I remember that, climbing up there, and we were all in these great big arches.
Do you know what colour dress you had? It's
white,
now...
all white with gold. Oh, a gold collar and gold wigs.
And is that you there, then?
I don't know. There's a bit of horsing about going on there.
Sort of costume change.
Oh, costume change.
Oh. Oh, these are all devils. These are all devils.
Is that thunder?
Oh, that's the thunder shout, yes.
Yes.
Sorry, you want
to... Oh, God. Oh, now that's where we were. That was me. Oh, I was just because a maybug flew up my sleeve.
A maybug?
I've got a white coffee. Do you want any sugar?
David Charles used to say, with all which that we wield, we worship thy will, thou glorious God that is ground of all grace. With steadfast song let us ever stand still to be fed with the food of beholding thy face. A wonderful man called Alfred Bristow used to say, when hadst thou, Lord, who ownest all, hunger or thirst, since God art thou? Bits of it I can remember really clearly. Oh, my word. What a lovely thing to have.
Black and white cine film of an audience sitting outdoors. Now, Joan heads inside from the terrace.
OK, so you're going to head towards the steps. And here's the door. Shall I put your hand on the frame?
Now, Joan's sitting with Maggie.
I did not sleep last night. You know that awful thing when you don't? Everything was going round in my head.
Who was the first day? Jane, were you the first day?
No, I wasn't.
Jude was
I was
the first.
Putting down the red carpet for all my friends.
An image of Judy posing with her medal. Maggie.
You phoned me when it happened to me. And you said, it doesn't make any difference, you can still swear.
Yes,
do you remember?
You can swear more.
You can swear more, yeah. You just try and do it privately. No, I won't do it now.
In America, they call you Dame Plowright, don't they? Yeah. And Dame Smith and Dame Atkin.
Mrs.
Yes.
Dame.
Yeah,
Mrs. Well,
Dame.
With John Standing, when he went through an airport, and they do what thing with your passport. And they said to him, have a nice day, Baron. Because he is a Baron. Come and I stay, Baron. I said, what is that about?
It's Baron. What are you supposed to say to a Baron? I don't... Baron.
Have a nice day, I go.
Prince Charles.
Did any of you consider not being a Dane when you were offered? Was it?
Yes. The letter got lost in the post. So I suddenly got a phone call saying, are you or are you not? What is your answer? We haven't received it. And so she told me over the phone, and I said, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And she said, I just remember saying, oh, do say yes. Do say yes. But then I asked for some time to think about it. I don't know. And then I was as pleased as punch that I did it.
The most excellent order of the British Empire, to be a Dame Commander, Civil Division, Dame Eileen Atkins, for services to drama.
I was just so thrilled that my father was alive. But that's mostly the point, isn't it?
Yes.
It's for other people who've helped and got you where you are. It's not really you.
The Queen awards Maggie.
The Order of the Companions of Honour. To be a member, Dame Maggie Smith, for services to drama.
The Queen shakes Maggie's hand.
I think it's much nicer being a lady, which you were before being a dame.
Well, darling, it's quite difficult when you've got two titles. People don't know which to use.
You'll have to grapple with it, Joan. It's so much nicer to be lady somebody.
Oh, darling, is it? Now, I'm not sure about titles at all, really. I have a feeling that Russia's way of calling you a people's artist.
But you accepted it?
I did, because everybody else had.
Did you feel left out?
And you feel, well, it's a kind of acceptance, isn't it, of work achieved.
Dame Joan Plowright, for services to drama.
I remember Joan saying on Tea with Mussolini, and this is something like dames, and Joan said, no, one lady, two dames. I remember that very well.
This reminds me of Judy walking the streets of Rome trying to find a hotel.
I'll never forget it.
Oh,
and we got into the hotel, and you were shown to your room, and somebody was showing me to my room.
This can't be right.
And as I got to my room, you appeared round the corner. You said, we're not stopping here. It's a knocking shop.
It's a knocking shop.
And it was 12:30 in the morning. I'll never forget it. And nor did we stay there. And we all landed up together, didn't we?
Yeah, well, we went. You and I went along to the Grand.
Yes.
And I said...
You went round the whole of Rome.
Oh, but Joan, you asked at the Grand.
Do you have any rooms?
Yes.
And he said, madam, we have 150.
We did. We went to the Eden, and do you remember that in the bar at the top, you weren't allowed to eat there. Mm. We used to go and have drinks and drink a whole
and play Scrabble.
Bottle of Prosecco, yes, and then try and guess where our rooms were.
Maggie laughs, concealing her smile behind her hand.
Oh, well, we're not supposed to be talking about...
No, we're not supposed to be talking about things that are...
Reviews.
You don't read them.
No, I certainly don't read them. Reviews. Somebody will always tell you, won't they?
Oh, yeah. Particularly if it's dreadful.
Because Carol Brahms, years and years ago...
I was just going to say Carol Brahms.
..when came up to me at a party when I was about my early 20s and said, I'm so sorry I had to be so cruel to you. And I hadn't known, and I didn't know what she was talking about. Of course, that was the nicest way I could have answered her. I mean, it was a good thrust back. Mm. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. But it was genuine. I didn't know what she was talking about. And after that, I thought, oh, you must check up on what's said about you.
Well, I think that's not wise.
Madam, I'm here. What is your will? This is the man.
She said about me as Juliet, she said, a good try, but Rosalind Iden should have been playing the part.
Oh, well, off the mark.
Who said that?
Carol Brahms. It's funny, isn't it, how that is 1960. It's funny now, isn't it, that you should remember it then.
You remember the bad ones.
Yes, best just not to read it. You kind of know.
Robert Morley. He'd come in, lean against the dressing room door and say, I understood you were the darling of the intellectuals. Kindly explain the half-empty house this afternoon.
Oh, God.
And then next time he came, he said, should we do something worthwhile together at the Royal Court in the spring?
Talk more about getting old, if you will. You all see charity.
I thought we were at
fuck off, Roger. Frankly, let's say it's a good job I've got hearing aids in and I can hear what you say.
Hands up, who hasn't got hearing aids?
Apart from that,
you need to get them. You need to get them, Jude.
And then there is the question of sight loss.
Well,
yes, we need to get. Have we got three eyes between us all?
But I was saying something about, oh, well, we could give these things round to read. Or, no, Roger said that. And I said, there's nobody who can read. Judy said she's got to have a huge print.
I've just a huge print. Do you find, though, that, you know what I really don't like? That people, after a certain age, go,
oh, yes, I can't bear it.
If I can't do it, I'll tell you that I can't do it. I mean, warn me about steps and things, but, you know, there's a very, very delicate line, because you need help. You need help. But it's like when I was stung on the bum by a hornet last year.
And that awful... Yes,
and
I, say.
And somebody, a paramedic, walked into the room who was about 17, and he said, what's our name?
Oh!
So I said, Judy, my name's Judy. And he said, and have we got a carer? And I blew my top. I blew my top. I'm afraid. I completely blew. I mean, I would tell you what I said. You can't publish it. I said, you fuck off! I said, I've just done 8 weeks in The Winter's Tale at the Garrick Theatre. I was so angry. That's the kind of thing. Have we got a... What's our name?
I know. Awful.
That doesn't change, does it? No. Doesn't change somebody, what's your name? If you want somebody to say that, you say, you know. We don't put it in a kind of person that's an invisible person who's standing next to you.
I don't like it when people ask if you've sorted your funeral out.
Oh,
do you remember Miriam asked you that, Miriam Margulies?
Because she's got a lot to sort out.
She'd sorted it all out and knows exactly what she's going to do. And then she said to you, have you, June? You said, no, I have not. And she said, why? And you said, because I'm not going to die. Which I know is true.
It's a pathetic talk, isn't it?
It was a very chilling moment. Mm. But she's got it all organised. And lots of people do.
We don't.
Shall we talk about something cheerier?
Let's talk about... Yes.
I think so.
OK. Here's something cheerier. Can you talk about working with your husband?
Well, there's a dead silence there.
I'm just trying to think which one.
Which one? Well, obviously, mine was the most difficult.
Yeah, we all found him tricky. Wasn't just you, Joan.
You were in the same position.
No.
Why should I let it touch me?
Georgia Tween came and said, look, we would like you to play Gene Rice. Of course, the lure of his name too, except you knew you couldn't make much of a show on your own. Of course, the part wasn't anything that was to shout about. You'd be on stage with somebody, you know, everybody would be looking at, not looking at you. But the lure of just being on the same page of a programme was great.
Hey, tell me something, will you? I want you to tell me something. Hmm? Well, what would you say to a man of my age? Marrying a girl of about your age.
Oh, Dad. You're not serious.
It was momentous. earth-shattering for me. A very, very strange experience. Although it's a great privilege to share in his life, as well as it being, you know, a bit of a nightmare. Sometimes.
You married Sir Laurence Olivier just before he started the National Theatre, and your career since then has been very tied up with the National Theatre.
Yes.
Do you
yes.
feel because of that, and because of the marriage, that you have lost opportunities that you might have had otherwise in other forms of theatre?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer, Sheridan, because, you know.
The actual burden of going on knowing that, you know, those who don't really go for you are going to say, well, of course, you know, it's her husband who's put her on with it. That was my sort of burden.
This is good news. The best you have given me yet.
I wish you joy of it, if you find it so.
Enough then. Bring it out!
Well, it was perfectly all right working with my first husband, and my second one wasn't an actor, so.
Snap.
A sign at a cinema advertises the prime of Miss Jean Brodie.
How about working with Robert?
Well, it was tricky. A lot of times it was fine, but then it really got very tricky because he was not a well man, and that was hard because you didn't know if somebody was coming on stage or if they were indeed what state they'd be in.
You want a cocktail? There are two here.
There are two over here as well.
We'll have my two first.
Shall we get roaring, screaming drunk?
I don't think that would help. We tried it once before and it was a dismal failure.
It was lovely at the beginning.
You have an immoral memory, Amanda. Here's to you.
A lot of it was very, very merry and lovely. So I shall remember those bits.
Yes, because you were a golden couple.
We were a golden couple, yes.
A scene from director Ronald Neame's 1969 film.
Judy, will you talk a little bit about working with Michael?
She looks away and muses.
Yes.
How long did all the fine moments and things like that?
Oh, ages and ages and ages.
This is a fine romance.
Working with Mike, we had the most wonderful time, but he used to laugh. Mikey was a terror. I mean, I'm bad at corpsing. Mikey was very bad at it. We did a play called A Pack of Lies. It was a long scene where Richard Vernon had to say, have you noticed a Vauxhall car? Registration number AVY129. And he said one day to us, have you noticed a Vauxhall car? Registration number RU12. We had to almost stop the play.
Are you all going to work forever?
Well, I don't suppose one can, but I'd like to.
Forever if I'm asked. If we're asked.
If we're asked?
What? If we're asked. We're going to work forever if we're asked, Jane.
But you're always asked first, if I may say so. I'm turning on you now. It's all coming out now.
One of my hearing aids has gone. What have we just...
Do you want one of mine? Do you want one of mine?
I know it won't fit. It's just what was the last thing said.
Are we going to go on working forever, Joan?
Oh, was that it?
And I said Jude gets all the parts first.
Oh, yeah, I tell you, my agent in America said to me when he knew I couldn't do very much because of the eyesight going, and he said, well, if you do want to come over again, we'll look around for a nice little cameo that Judi Dench hasn't got her paws on.
How rude.
It's not rude at all.
It's very, very rude.
Well, they're American, darling. That's how they talk.
Why does every day involve a fight with an American?
A selection of scenes starring Maggie Smith in period costume dramas, including Downton Abbey, 2010 to 2015.
I used to find the most exhausting thing wearing those hats. They're the heaviest things in the world. I had a hat. It was like the Albert Hall. It was this huge. And so heavy. You'd say, please take it off. Please take it off.
How many episodes were there? I mean, how many?
I don't know. I think it was more. I don't know. They gave me a box set.
What?
They gave me a box set. But I haven't got time. I shall have to hasten because I won't last long enough to see the wretched thing, will I?
Can you talk about being on really big film sets? Like huge film sets? Like the Bond film set or Harry Potter?
Actually, Alan Rickman and I, we just ran out of reaction shots. They always would shoot on the children first, not surprisingly. And then they'd turn around and we'd be going, oh, listening, you know, it was absolutely extraordinary. Who's this one here? I was just surprised.
I thought that was part of Harry Potter. You did it really, really well.
Are you a camera?
You met before.
I know.
I met yesterday.
But you're always in the scene. Would you like to come and sit here? I'm suddenly sort of aware that you're there more than anybody else.
Would you like me to move?
I would love it if you moved.
Do you want to go in?
I honestly think you've taken an awful lot of photographs.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
So it is his job.
Yeah.
I know it is time, but... He's not going to be upset now. Look at him. He's been there forever.
He's going to go bang about a lot.
We've got quite enough here.
Skyfall, 2012.
God's sake! Just get out of the way. Don't you recognise the car?
Madam. An explosion at MI6.
Oh, talk about Bond. I want to know how you do, covered in jewels.
I was never covered in jewels.
After it, you were.
Afterwards, did you say? It was Michael, really, who said, because when I was asked to do it, I was kind of really taken aback. And Michael said, I long to live with a Bond woman, he said. I long to, you have to do it.
My sons went to a little preparatory school not that far from here, where Kim Philby was the main pupil.
Michael's hero.
Kim Philby?
Have you ever seen that bit of film with him when he was suspected of being a traitor and he calls the press into his house?
Oh, if there was a third man, were you in fact the third man?
No, I was not.
Do you think there was one?
No comment.
Every actor should look at that.
I know.
Because you cannot begin to think for a minute that he's lying.
I know. And it was in his mother's flat, wasn't it?
I think it was. Mm. I think it was.
His mum was there, listened to all the lies.
And you think, of course, don't be so stupid. Of course he's not duplicitous in any way whatsoever. Good acting. Yeah, good spying.
Fear is a common thread over the last 2 months. Fear.
Fear's petrol.
It's the payoff. The fear is petrol.
Yes.
Talk about that. That's amazing.
Fear.
Fear is what?
Fear's the petrol, isn't it? Fear, you know, it generates such an energy, fear, being frightened.
Yes.
That if you can somehow channel it, it can be a help.
Really good. OK, airboard.
I'm so sorry, we are very, very tired. You know...
So many good things.
That you have... You,
I'll take one in 2 months.
They've told you how old we are.
I've been told how I'm
not telling anyone.
Maggie playfully slumps in her chair. Now, a theatrical award for Joan Plowright. Photos of the four dames sitting around the table while being filmed. Joan.
Do you think we ought to have a glass of champagne round this one?
God.
Yes.
I could kill it.
I think it's far too late. Why didn't anybody think of that a few hours ago? Damien had speaking teeth and eating teeth. And she used to go home with her speaking teeth in and then phone Diggy and say, you'll have to go and get my teeth because I'm very hungry.
She'd left them in the dressing room.
Yes, so Diggy had to go and get them from the dressing
teeth.
Room.
Teeth, did you say teeth?
She used to have speaking teeth and eating teeth.
Oh, we think we're in trouble. I mean...
I know.
Two lots of teeth.
A hand back.
She was always saying, I am so lonely.
Well, I know the feeling. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I...
But now, this is what I'm saying. The awful thing is, I used to think awful things about Dame Eve.
Yeah.
And I don't now.
Oh, my goodness.
Are we doing anything?
We're drinking
champagne.
It's always worrying when you see these guys. They look at them sneaking
look,
up
look,
on.
Look, we have to have a sip.
Listen.
Are we talking?
Are we talking?
What would you like to talk about?
No, I meant
are
we on?
We're waiting for Roger to shout.
Are we on yet?
Yeah, they never stop.
Oh, they never stop.
To us,
thank you.
To you, everyone.
What?
You're not having any.
Who?
We're drinking our champagne, Jones.
All righty.
What would your advice be to your young self? Your advice to your
Christ.
Young
self. I would say get in touch with yoga or mindfulness at quite an early age and learn about the brain and what influence it has on the body. All those things that I've come to be interested in later on in life and could have done with doing earlier.
And I think Joan kind of leads is a version of mine, which I would say not to be so very bad-tempered and confrontational. Mm-hmm. And listen more.
Maggie.
Wait, me?
Yes.
Honest to God, I don't know. Because most likely I wouldn't be listening. But I would say, when in doubt, don't.
Mm. That's good.
I think I would.
It should be a motto, that. When I wish I knew the Latin of it.
What, when in doubt?
When in doubt, don't.
Jude.
I would say, try not to be so susceptible to falling in love.
Oh.
Quite so.
Oh,
it's pathetic, don't.
Oh, yes. Jude.
Don't.
You could.
No, be more susceptible.
No.
Less susceptible. Well, whatever it is, it's too late.
What else? What else?
Somebody said it's too late.
I said it's too late.
Oh, it's never too late.
Oh, do stop, Joan.
It's never
you know
too
it
late
is.
To fall in love.
Oh,
what is that out of?
The boyfriend.
Salad
day.
The boyfriend.
Salad
day.
The boyfriend.
Oh, is it the boyfriend?
Never too late. I think the boyfriend is. What do you
say? It's ooh, never oh, too late to ooh have a fling, for autumn is just as nice as spring, and it's never too late to fall in love.
Boop-a-doop, boop-a-doop, boop-a-doop.
It's never too late to wink an eye, I'll do it until the day I die, and it's never too late to fall in love.
Boop-a-doop, boop-a-doop, boop-a-doop.
If they say I'm too old for you,
then I shall answer, why, sir? One never drinks the wine that's new. The old wine tastes
much nicer.
Oh, a gentleman never feels too weak to pat a pink arm or pinch a cheek, and it's never too late to fall in love.
Says who? Says
you. You wrote criticisms of Lawrence when you were at school. You didn't think much of his...
Oh, as I wrote to my parents, yeah. He was Hamlet, and... yes, I'd seen Michael Redgrave first. I wrote and said Laurence Olivier was a bit ham.
Yeah.
Hammy.
Did you ever tell it?
No, I didn't, actually.
No, of course not.
No. No, because, when you're in the throes of love and...
No, I meant later, Joan.
..off your feet, you didn't. I don't think I did later. No. I'm sure I didn't.
Did you see him as Henry V? I can remember being taken in Plymouth to see it. I just loved it. I remember it so clearly.
I wrote to him, apparently. Tamsin found a schoolgirl diary of mine, which said, got a letter back from L.O.
You see, that's what I was saying.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah.
Not writing to my parents.
No.
Yes, that was saying how much I'd loved it, of course.
So it was a fan letter.
Yes, it was a fan letter. And I got this letter back, which I know now was from Dorothy Wellford, the secretary, with a stamped... which thousands of schoolgirls got. I know Maggie had a tough time with him on occasion. Well, we do know that.
Oh, no, come
but,
on. No,
know,
no tougher than with no, a lot
you
of
were,
actors.
You also, you know, my kids called on you when I was away, when he was suddenly taken ill again. You came round and held his hand.
Yes.
You did, in my absence.
This hand held the hand.
Yes.
I remember him saying to me, I had a bit in the semi-detached where I had to go off stage, run upstairs, run down again and come on stage. And he said to me, you're always a fraction late. And I said, well, that's how long it takes me. I do it as quickly as I can to run upstairs, outside the door and down again. And he said, my dear, it's an illusion. You don't have to run up the stairs.
I remember going to see a play in New York with an English actor, and the notices had paid a lot of attention to a great cry he did at the end of the second act or something. And the night we were there, it didn't happen. And we went round to see him and said, oh, you know, where was it? He said, I felt I couldn't reach it, and I didn't want to give the audience a lie. And I said, well, you know, the whole thing from beginning to end is a lie. After all, Hamlet does get up and take a curtain call. So there was a whole argument going on then about whether you should just try the crush, whether you're in the mood or not.
You should be in the mood, is the answer.
You find the way.
Yes.
To make it happen and appear spontaneous. And that's the difference between actual truth and illusion.
She takes a sip of her drink, while Eileen looks contemplative as she digests Joan's words. Maggie is also musing, staring down at the table. Judy picks up her glass of bubbly. Joan.
Finito.
I'm lost for...
I have nothing left to say.
At a show business event, Maggie's illuminated by the flashbulbs of numerous photographers. Now... at an award ceremony, she's receiving an award from Richard Attenborough. A montage of glittering red carpet events and movie premieres, featuring the actors being showered with trophies and accolades. Archive footage of Judy kissing Bob Hoskins. Now, she plants kisses on Prince Charles's cheeks. Joan is interviewed by a reporter on the red carpet, while Judy poses for a pack of photographers. Joan is wearing a blue feather boa as she poses for photos outside a theatre. Eileen and Judy stand on stage clutching their awards, both looking overwhelmed. At the cottage, a crew member removes a microphone from Judy's lapel while his colleague closes the sliding door which leads onto the terrace. The dames are left sitting at the dining table with their glasses of bubbly.
Yep.
Images of the actors as children.
Our revels now are ended. These are actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits, and are melted into air, into thin air. And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherit, shall dissolve. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep.
I hope you're getting the others to do this.
Yes, we are.
Roger. You swear?
I swear.
You swear? Dame Judy Dench, 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 Dame Judy Dench,
Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench,
Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench,
Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, Dame Judy